Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi everyone, this is your host for today, Sarah Marr. I've always wanted to say that. And I'm joined today by Mary Cullen and Liam Barton, two of our HR consultants at Insight HR. Hi Mary, hi Liam.
Hi Sarah.
Hi Sarah.
So on today's episode, we are going to be discussing workplace stress, which today I've actually been feeling a little bit of because there's been builders making a lot of noise right outside my window, the joys of home working. Liam, do you think that workplace stress is common these days?
It's extremely common, Sarah, and I think I could speak for many employees that we're all experiencing it at the moment.
Some level.
At some level, absolutely. I think one of the things that's happened, Sarah, in recent months is the whole boundaries between work and home life have become just largely irrelevant. So if you take myself for an example, normally Monday to Friday, I would commute. It's only a very, very short commute. I would leave my house and travel to the office in Kilkenny and travel back home. So there's almost a physical distance. There is a physical distance between home life and work life, or there was up until, I suppose, about 9 months ago. Now, where I live, where I sleep is exactly where I work. And I think that has certainly made things more stressful, because when you're trying to conduct business and when you're trying to interact with clients and interact with your colleagues at work, many, many people now, myself included, have young children at home. They don't really understand the office environment, etiquette. Zoom calls, are quite happy to come in and see a Zoom call in their pajamas. Absolutely no problem. They're delighted to do so. All the more fun for them. So I think it has made, for many working parents, life more challenging in terms of the whole juggling. And that means that we still have client demands, customer demands, we still have work to conduct, but it's having to be done in and around various other demands within our lives. And I think where previously there was more of a separation between work and home life, now they're all meshed in together. So I think in terms of stress, I think you have to say that the whole global pandemic is causing a huge amount of stress and anxiety, and that is making its way into the workforce. And that is leading to, in many cases, stress and tension between individual workers. In some cases, people are making themselves almost non-contactable because they simply don't want to talk to work colleagues because they're under stress or anxiety. And many of, I think, the stress relievers, Sarah, which would be the cup of coffee with your colleague, the chat at the water cooler, maybe for some people the cigarette outside the office, all of those sort of little breakers are no longer there, because, you know, to make contact with someone, you have to ring them, you almost have to arrange a Zoom call and an MS Teams call. Yeah, and there's so many different things, like going from one Zoom call to another and sitting in the one stationary position for much of the day. So I think it has, for many people, made it much more challenging. And for lots of people, we were plunged from working in your normal place of work to working from home without any lead-in time or without any time to sort of put parameters or structures in place. Mm. We were just plunged into it on whatever day it was, the 1st of March, 2020. So is stress more common? I think it is. I think employers really need to think about checking in with a phone call, not an email, a phone call. Hi, how are you? How are things going? How are you today? How are you getting on? Not, have you got the file for XYZ? Have you, is customer XYZ happy? Forget about that for a moment. How are you? How are you keeping? How's everything? Actually, Liam, it's terrible, you know, and that you have that really honest conversation, because I think you're right, Sarah. People are under more stress, and very often they don't want to necessarily communicate that. Maybe it's the people who are living with them. So that outlet was the water cooler moment or the cigarette break or whatever it was with people they worked with. So I think for a lot of people, that's been lost. And I think that's a shame. So
yeah. And I think that people kind of experience it differently too. Like, I personally love homework, and I've kind of done it before the lockdown as well. Maybe that's why, because I'd already kind of trialed it, but I really enjoy the homework. And but I know a lot of friends who would have kind of more extroverted personalities who are really missing that kind of personal, as you said, water cooler talks or chats or office banter, you know. Mary, what do you think? Do you think that people are more stressed now at work because of the pandemic than they were before?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo a lot of what Liam says about, you know, issues around childcare, trying to work with children, small children in particular, in the home can be quite difficult and quite challenging. And many parents are having to juggle arrangements, you know, one works in the morning, one works in the afternoon. And or that the working day seems to extend on forever for the family. So I don't think that's easy. But we also have to remember isolation for those who don't have family around them, who maybe live alone. You've got to think about people whose domestic situations are quite volatile and difficult. Maybe through things like drug addiction, alcoholism, domestic violence, and a whole range of other issues that are out there for people to deal with. And at Insight Asia, we're seeing a lot of those things. And like Liam says, it is coming into the workplace, because when people are unhappy, when things aren't right for them, for whatever reason, it has an impact on their performance at work. And for some people, going into work and having that social contact is so important. Like Liam, I miss the contact with my colleagues. I miss the commute. I miss the socializing and the variety that comes with being a consultant. It's very, very different working from my home. And I'm a real believer that not everybody is suited to home working. It takes quite a lot of motivation to, I suppose, get up every morning and present yourself, go down into your kitchen or up into your bedroom or into your sitting room to start your day's work, when there might be a ton of distractions around you, from children to animals to partners to housemates to who knows what.
I think it's really, Sarah and Mary, isn't it really going almost from our place of work, where the whole raison d'etre was we go to work to work. Yes, there's a social aspect to it, but it was our place of work, to suddenly our place of work becoming our home, and our home becoming our place of work. So I think it has happened so quickly that only now I think people are grappling and trying to put in place certain parameters in terms of, you know, I know one gentleman who goes up to his attic to send his emails. That's almost his escape valve. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Mary. It's important for us as employers to engage even more now with staff than ever, to ensure that they're supported from a well-being and from a welfare point of view, because everyone is different and everyone views it in a different way.
And Liam, we've been hearing a lot about the right to disconnect in the news these days, which I think is probably quite important for that demarcation that you were talking about between work life and home life. What is that actually referring to, the right to disconnect?
Yeah, I mean, like many things in employment legislation, we're slightly behind our European partners. They typically get there a couple of years ahead of us. In France and Germany, for instance, they have very, very strict right to disconnect legislation, which I think, you know, bars in many cases employers contacting their employees after 6 o'clock or before 8 a.m. in the morning, and the, prevents an employer taking disciplinary action on the basis that somebody hasn't come back to them outside of those hours. Mm-hmm. Probably the most prominent case was the Keypack case in this area, where there was a judgment in the Workplace Relations Commission in relation to, you know, a range of contact with a particular employee outside of what could be considered the normal hours of work, and very much an expectation that the employee would be almost always on, in the sense of always available to respond to emails, always be available for contact, etc., etc. So I think what you're going to see over the next number of years is essentially enshrined a right to disconnect, or essentially an acknowledgement legally that an employee's contracted hours, be they the typical example of 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, are typically their hours of work. So it's not legal or permissible for an employer to contact employees outside of those hours. And as Mary alluded to in her piece earlier, that's going to be very problematic, because many people at home, if they are working from home, have kind of structured in a different manner for the reasons Mary has alluded to. You know, parent A works from 8 to 4, parent B works from, you know, 4 to 10 or whatever it may be, or they do it in certain junctures around possibly later on pickup and connection from school, etc. So I think it's going to be a change. I think the vast majority of employers, Sarah, are very responsible in relation to their contacting of people. But I think some employers may have to really look at their policies and look at their culture. And is there somebody who's always being wrong, or where there's a general expectation that you're required to work excessive hours, be available to be contacted outside of normal working hours? I think that's something that to avoid exposure in a legal sense or an employment sense, I think employers are really going to have to look at very carefully.
Mary, what kind of policies do you think that HR needs to implement to make sure that employees are not working beyond their contracted hours?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably time for employers to speak to each of their employees and try and establish, well, what are their working patterns? Have they changed in some way? Do they need to address at a contractual level, first off, any change in working arrangements, and whether or not they'll be permanent or not, I guess is down to individual agreement. But I think we've moved beyond the period where we can leave things casually. I think employers really need to think about health and safety in the home, and consider, you know, do people have suitable workstations, desks, you know, equipment available to them. So those, the health and safety policy really needs to be reviewed in light of the remote nature of work. I think they probably need to be looking at that health and wellness and well-being policies in terms of, you know, have we adjusted what we're doing from a health and wellness perspective, because a lot of elements of those programs have changed now with lack of social contact. And what are employers doing instead to support the well-being and mental health of their employees? Yes, of course, the employee assistance programs and the policies associated with them, they're ever more important now. But I think it's really to focus on, you know, a change in the way in which we work and how we need to adjust our policies and procedures from a work perspective to reflect that. I think for all of us, we've kind of gone from month to month. It's a bit like we're trundling along as a nation, maybe globally. without anyone really wanting to say, you know, this might be permanent. This might fundamentally change the way in which we've been doing business. But I do think it's time for HR to take a lead here and really start looking at policy, looking at, you know, are we going to have a workforce that we divide into, you know, completely attending the office when they can, blended working, which is a combination between home and office or home and work, and complete remote working? And are we going to allow our workforce to decide what best suits them? And I think that change is here. And I think after, you know, realistically, if we're still in this position by the end of the year, you know, it'll be coming up to 2 years where the world of work has changed. And I think that that's fundamental to the way in which we do business and the way in which we think about work.
And when it comes to addressing kind of mental health issues in the workplace, Liam, what kind of role can HR play?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think as a society, Sarah, and as a workforce, we're going to be facing, I think, increased challenges in this area as a result of the pandemic. I think what role can HR play? I think we in HR need to play a leading role, both in terms of advising and supporting management and the wider business community regarding the importance of good mental health. I think, as Mary alluded to, basic things like checking in with your staff, making sure they're, you know, not overdoing it at work, making sure they're trying to eat, sleep, and rest in a reasonable manner. I think making sure they're not spending too many hours at the laptop or at the PC. I think, a responsible line manager, if he's continuing to receive emails from a certain employee at, you know, 20 past 10 at night, would be asking questions regarding, you know, when does this person switch off? What are their hours of work? Realigning their contracted hours to the hours that they're actually doing. I think looking at employee assistance programs, looking at health and well-being, looking at possibly offering some sort of fitness program or wellness program. Again, much of that can be done remotely. It has to be done remotely because all the gyms are closed and you're not allowed to congregate. So trying to play a more active advisory and supportive role in this area. And I think, you know, some sort of touch point in terms of benchmarking the fitness and well-being, both from a physical point of view and from a mental point of view of the employees within the organization. I mean, traditionally we do employee attitude surveys. I think now there's going to be much more of an emphasis on taking the temperature check from a mental and physical well-being of the employees, and being quite progressive and quite positive in promoting that agenda. Because I think, you know, if we look at our office, someone would come in, we'd almost know instinctively, oh, that person mightn't be in great form today. We'd sort of pick up on it. And generally someone would go, hey, are you okay? Do you want to come for a cup of coffee? And again, it goes back to the water cooler moment that, you know, we're no longer working in the same office environments or work environment as that person. So many of the things that you might empathetically pick up about that person, you mightn't necessarily, because, you know, you may be talking to them remotely, but you won't be in physical contact with them. So I think there's a range of areas really that HR need to look at and need to promote within businesses.
And just to add to that point, Liam, you know, we can't forget that the whole area of mental health applies to those who are actually on the front line.
Absolutely.
Because there is a whole raft of people who are out there working every single day, from the people working in supermarkets to the people delivering your food, to people in hospitals, creches, elder care settings, community groups and charities and all of that. There's a load of people out there who are still working, who every day go out there to serve the community and do their job. And we have to think about their mental health and their well-being as well, because there's more conflict in the work in the workplace. And even if you do still have the water cooler or a canteen, there's a lot less people around it.
Absolutely.
There's a lot less people that you're interacting with.
True.
There's a lot fewer opportunities to interact and communicate with your fellow work colleagues. And that's the way the world of work has to be set up, to protect people. But, you know, I think everybody now knows someone who's contracted COVID or who's self-isolating because of COVID. And there are more and more stories around Ireland now than there were maybe even in the first wave of COVID here in Ireland. And so fear is there. And it's really important that employers are really thinking about that and thinking about what can we do that's different? How can we adapt our processes and our offerings so that we're creatively and proactively addressing these areas of concern for people to improve our workplaces and to ensure that we have mentally well and healthy employees?
Guys, that's about all we have time for. It's a discussion I think that could go on and very important as well. But thanks once again to Mary and Liam, and thanks to everyone who tuned in today.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.